I want to talk to you today about time. Time, probably not as you think about time, or most often think about time, but time in a way that the Bible refers to that's a little bit different than our way of looking at time. Okay? I'm going to read this passage to you. It goes like this. And do this, Paul writing to the Roman church, and do this, understanding the present time. There you go. Understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. That's quite a statement. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Time. Okay. Time. We are big on time in our culture, right? It was after Christmas, and I went to this outlet mall, and I was going to go look for a watch. I wanted to get a Fossil watch. Okay, I got a Fossil watch on right now. They were so cheap, I got two. So I wanted to know what time it was in other countries as by looking at my watch, but I couldn't afford this. So I just got this one. But they have what's called a chronograph. Chronograph. A chronograph watch is one that has basically a second hand, or it has a stopwatch on it, or your phone is a chronograph. It has a timer on it or a stopwatch, and it measures increments of time while also displaying the time. And chronos is where you get the word chronological, obviously. We're big on this chronos time thing. I got a dental appointment next week. I got an eye appointment. I got this on my calendar at 2:30 in the afternoon. We like chronos. We're slaves to chronos time in the way of understanding time. Your age. I'm, you know, how many years old? You say this all the time. I'm 70 years old. I'm 80 years old. I'm 40 years old. I'm 18 years old. We measure things in time. We've been married for 25 years. We've been married 27 years. My little girl's 8 years old. We're going to go away for 14 days. We're going to come back in 30 days. Whatever the case may be, we do this. I've been in that church for 15 years. We like seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, quarters, fiscal years, annual years, centuries, decades. We love time and we eat it up. We talk about how much time we don't have. How time is going so by so fast. We're preoccupied with time. Well, the Greeks had a hold of this time. They called it chronos time. Okay, great. People think chronos. They think sequentially. They think orderly. They think time, appointments. There you go. Well, we pray in chronos. We think in chronos. We're enslaved to chronos. God isn't so chronos. This is the problem. We interact with God on a chronos basis, and he's like, I don't deal in chronos that much. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Why can't you change the way you understand time? This is how God understands time. Psalm 90:4, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. What? 1,000 years are like a day to God, and we're asking him to answer a prayer by 2:30 next Friday. Come on. He's not chronos. And this is why some of your prayers aren't answered, you know, on your timetable, because he's not that chronos, preoccupied with our schedule. So if he's not chronos, what is he? God is kairos, not chronos. What is that? What's crying? Well, it's the seizing of an opportunity. It is a moment in time seized by the intersection of our giftedness, our preparedness, our availability, our sensitivity. A kairos moment is a moment of opportunity that doesn't have a number next to it, or a colon with two numbers. It is a situation, it is a reality that you have a kairos moment in which you're living right now. And it's not the 11:41 a.m. moment, it's this moment. What moment, what season, what kairos moment are you in your life right now? And that's the question God's trying to answer for you. He's trying to impart to you. What's your Kairos moment, not what's your Chronos moment? Totally different. Give you an idea. People want to nail down a date. If you want to make a few bucks, write a book about the date in which Jesus is coming back. You'll make some quick money, you'll be totally wrong, and you'll be Chronos, and after it's over, when people look back on it, you'll be a flake. This is the way God handles that. But about that hour, or day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The return of Christ is not even known to the Son. Why in the world would anyone else know it? Would the Father skip the Son and just whisper in someone's ear? Come on, Chronos bunch of people. I'll give you an example between the dichotomy between Chronos and Kairos, because this affects your personal walk, by the way. There's 50 years of marriage, Chronos. Do you finish one another's sentences? And have you grown in love with one another daily? And would it deeply pain you to be apart? Kairos. You spent 25 years in the church, Chronos. Did you disciple anybody? Did you build the kingdom? Did you give your time, your talents, and your treasure? Did you share the gospel? And did you leave a spiritual legacy? Kairos. One of the things I love about this particular opportunity to serve in this church is I can get to see 60 and 70-year-old people come alive in Christ that for the first time in their life. I see this. I see it down at Sky Valley. I see it here. Like, all of a sudden, the Chronos 70 years you walk the face of the earth seems inconsequential. In the last 7 minutes when you received Christ, your whole world got turned upside down, and you finally realize what you've been missing your whole entire life, Kairos. We talk about days going by. Question, days go by, is Chronos. Did the day expire today? Will today expire with or without Christ, in the flesh or in the spirit, having accomplished something for the kingdom or having wasted it? What's the deal? Some of you have just come to Christ a couple weeks ago. A number of people have come to the Lord the last few weeks. What's your Kairos moment? Your Kairos moment is this. Your moment in time is not based on the day and the actual hour on the clock. Your moment of time is to grow as a little baby in Christ, to have someone come alongside you and mentor you, to start opening up the book of John and reading it, devouring it, eating it, chewing on it, asking questions, being mentored as a young believer. That's your Kairos moment. Some of you have been walking with the Lord a long time. You know what your Kairos moment is? To find a new believer and to kind of lead them along and get them in the book of John and get them devouring it and get them asking questions and answering for them. That's your Kairos moment. That's your opportunity. He says, and do this. Speaking of loving your neighbor, he says, and do this, understanding the present Kairos. The hour, Chronos, has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Well, there it is. How many of you woke up this morning by your alarm clock or your phone, alarm on your phone, right? Nobody uses, what, you just woke up? We need to have church earlier. Alarm clock goes off, and it signifies in Chronos time, hey, man, you got to wake up. You got to wake up because, to be honest with you, you didn't allow enough time, Chronos, to actually get a shower and get ready on time to leave without aggravating your spouse. So, that Chronos situation is at play here, and you just got woken up. Probably should have said it 15 minutes earlier, but probably not. You probably would have turned it off and went back to sleep anyway. Anyway, in your Chronos prison, go get ready for church. Kairos. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to realize that today has an opportunity to it. It has a texture to it. It has a purpose to it. It's going to take me somewhere. It's going to take me into someone's life, and I need to be ready for that. Opportunistically ready for that. I need to speak God's language. The hour, Chronos, has come for you to wake up from your slumber. because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Yeah, they lived with this expectation that Christ was coming back because they just saw him a few months back in the upper room. Yeah, they lived with a sense of urgency. That was their Kairos moment. They lived in a season of, we better get busy. 500 people appeared to Christ for 40 days after the resurrection. People were rose from the dead on the day that he rose from the dead, and they're still talking about it in the town. He's writing to the people in Rome, letting them know, hey, listen, I've already seen him on the road to Damascus. Peter saw him on the Sea of Galilee. We saw him in the upper room. He could be coming back anytime. Get busy living in your Kairos opportunistic moments. And then he goes into this thing here about how do we waste this whole program? He says, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. The thing that's going to bother me most is that, and it bothers me now, I hope it bothers you, that you have this idea that, you know what, if I'm honest about it, I better keep moving, keep doing something, keep busy, because if not, I'm going to have to stop and maybe even evaluate something. And if I evaluate something, I'm probably going to happen upon this reality that I'm wasting time. I'm wasting chronos. That's not cool. To be given an opportunity to live and to waste time. I'm not saying you have to be a workaholic or anything like that. I mean, just saying. I mean, enough days go by when you just kind of do nothing. After a while, you got to go, I'm kind of wasting time. I'm kind of pushing this gift back at God saying, I don't really need it. Well, if you don't need it, let's just get on with not having it. How about that? Time. I don't like wasting time. There's a time to rest and a time to work and a time to worship, a time to play. I get all of that. Time to feast and time to fast. But I don't want to waste anything. Well, people that live like this, they're wasting time. I wasted an early part of my life. I really did. I wasted it. I can't get it back. I can't get the ramification of my wastefulness, even physically. I can't get it back. So you live two ways. You waste chronos or you seize kairos. And that's what comes in this last thing here. It says, rather, he says, rather than do that, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. All right, how many of you are from Florida? Raise your hand. Or Alabama, even. Wait a minute. Florida go down. Alabama go up. That's a gutsy bunch right there. That's a gutsy bunch. To do that publicly, to admit you're from Alabama, is a gutsy bunch. Man, I got some courageous people in here. We could do a lot with this. All right. What was I talking about? When you get up in the morning and you live in the mountains, you don't just get up and get dressed. What do you have to do first? You have to look at the weather on your phone. Right? All right, I'll give you now. You Florida, Alabama people, here's what you do. You get up, you put on your flip-flops and a pair of shorts, and you go to the deli. It's going to be hot all day, sunny. It's going to rain for 20 minutes in the afternoon, and you're prepared for all of that. You wear the same thing every day. I get up in the morning, I got to say, all right, in the morning I'm going to wear a sweater, then I'm going to throw it in the back seat. I'll wear a parka at noon, and then in the end of the day, I'll just wear a cutoff shirt. I'll carry my umbrella with me everywhere I go because it's going to rain today at some point. Nobody really knows when, including the meteorologist. I look at the backseat of my truck sometimes. I have an umbrella, I have a pair of gloves, I had a ski mask, I got a pair of Bermuda shorts, I got some flip-flops, and I got some boots. Mountain weather. Well, everyone here this morning, best I can tell, is dressed. And for that, I thank you. You got up and got dressed today. Praise the Lord. That would have caused so many problems. I can't even begin to tell you. But are you? Are you spiritually dressed? Did you get up this morning and dress in such a manner that you put on Christ so that whatever weather, whatever inclement situation you encounter today, you're actually prepared to deal with it? When the Kairos opportunistic moment comes, when someone's in the middle of a deluge or a hurricane, an emotional trauma, are you prepared in that Kairos moment to meet their needs? Or are you just clocking in and checking out around 10 p.m.? You see, you clothe yourself in Christ in the morning, and when you get dressed in the morning, early in the morning, you clothe yourself in Christ. So you're prepared to meet the changing demands of living in the mountains, the changing demands of being among people who are looking for hope, the changing demands of people who are down and out, depressed, up, down, addicted, not addicted, hired in a kite or on a mountaintop, having a great life, or really don't even want to live anymore. In the mountains, the weather is, the emotional climate is as volatile as the weather itself in the natural sense. You meet enough people on this mountain and you get involved in their life enough, you're going to see that there's confusion, that there's joy, there's ecstasy, there's despondency, there's fear. There's all kinds of things in this mountain. Are you clothed for a Kairos opportunistic moment to minister to those people? Or are you spiritually naked? You know, what's your Kairos moment in your life right now? Okay, the new believer, I get that. You need someone to walk alongside of you, and you need to get in the Word, and you need to be baptized at the end of this month. You need to know what baptism is all about. You need to call the church. You need to talk to me. You need to talk to just call the church and talk to me. I'll point you in the right direction. You need someone to come alongside of you, tell you about baptism, what that's all about, and get you started on your journey of walking with Christ. That's easy to figure out. That's your Kairos moment. Don't waste it. But is it your Kairos moment to start to do the work of an evangelist after all these years? To take the SHAPE class on Monday night and expound upon your spiritual gifts? Is your Kairos moment to disciple someone else or be discipled? Is your Kairos moment to write that book you said you were going to write when you were more idealistic than you are now? Is it your Kairos moment to write out your testimony and your life story for your grandchildren and their children and their children and their children to leave a spiritual legacy? Is that your Kairos moment? Where are you right now, and what are you dressed for? What would God have you to dress for now in your life? I referred to Glenda going through this horrific cancer situation. What's her Kairos moment? I see three potential Kairos moments for her. One for sure, to press into the Lord more than any other time in her life. Two, to minister to her husband and those who come to visit her in the midst of incredible trial. She has an opportunistic moment right now to shine for the glory of God, despite what she's going through, to show those who love her that Christ is every bit as active in her life in the midst of trial as he is when she's on the mountaintop. It's her Kairos moment to believe for a healing, but to press in toward the Lord. Yes. And it may be, and I don't know, and I hope not. Maybe so, but let's keep it real. It may be her, and she knows this, it may be her Kairos moment to die well. To prepare for such an eventuality. Whether that be now or later. What's your Kairos moment? Is that a confession of a lack of faith? No, we're all going to die. There it is, man. Oh, you're here this morning and you have no relationship with Christ. You're 100% Chronos. You're looking back over your life. I worked here for so long, and I was married for so long, and I had a girlfriend for so long, and my little girl's this old, and my little boy's this old. All of that stuff. Here, what's your Kairos moment? There's an opportunistic moment that's about to come your way in a few minutes, and it's an opportunistic moment to accept Jesus Christ as your way to heaven. There's a Kairos moment. Whew. Is there a more important Kairos moment? I don't know. Is it your Kairos moment to get into a neighborhood group, to expound upon community, to be intimate with other believers, to make friendships that last, that far exceed the temporary, superficial, lack of transparency, lack of vulnerability relationships that abound in culture? Is it time for you to get involved in a small community of people and grow as a believer? Probably so. What time is it on your watch? And how irrelevant is that to what God's doing in your life this moment? Chronos versus Kairos. I believe this with all my heart. It's a Kairos moment right now for two teenagers in this church to come alive out of their slumber and stand up for Christ and be the first two as an epicenter of spiritual growth to affect not only this church, but this community and these schools. I believe that. I believe there are two teenagers out there that God is preparing for a Kairos moment. To stand up and be fed up with mediocrity and lackadaisicalness and really pursue Christ. God's going to raise them up out of this church. I was driving here from Sky Valley this morning. The Lord gave me a word. Gary, I've been digging a well. Haven't you seen it? I've been digging a well for years in that church. I've been doing it. And the water in that well is cool, and it's refreshing, and it's restorative, and it has healing qualities to it, and it satisfies. He says, that's the well I've been digging. He said, draw out of that well, son. Draw out of that well. When? The depth of the prayer of that church is nearer to the depth of the well. You'll start to draw and drink and be life-imparting people, not only here, but around this community and the world. Draw near to me and you'll draw out of that well, son. Get those people to a place of prayer they've never been before. So they know when that water comes, it's of me. Because in their Kairos moment, they expected it. They longed for it. They were thirsty for it. And they stayed on their knees for it. Get those people to draw near to me, and they'll draw from that well. Kairos moment. I don't know how to do that. You have to do that. The distance between that pew and this pulpit has got to be minimized, and you've got to see yourself as a priest. You can't see what happens here as a form of entertainment or activity on a Sunday morning. You've got to see it as marching orders to do exactly what was said from this book in your life, and you're going to draw from a well so deep, so cold, so refreshing, so restorative, a well of water that reconciles and moves like a river of living water through this community, these schools, these churches that are looking for direction, these people that want to kill themselves, these people that are addicted to drugs. Draw near to God. Get some depth of prayer and you'll drink from that well. Many won't be patient enough to wait. They lack depth and they don't pray. God's bringing this church to a place of depth, not superficiality, depth. And it'll be more than some can handle. And frankly, it ought to be. It ought to be. If everyone could handle it, it wouldn't be of the Lord. It wouldn't be quality. This well's deep. And so does the prayer. To access it needs to be deep. Deep water, deep prayer. What's your Kairos moment? is it to live with a better, balanced, healthy understanding of taking care of your body? Yeah, probably. Is it more about how long you do that? How many sessions a week you do? And how many we can sequentially add up and how much time you invest in that? Or is it about the quality of knowing that you're caring for yourself like a temple of the Holy Spirit? Kairos. Is your Kairos moment to live as Christ and to die as gain? Is it to rest in Christ and not fret and anxiety? Is it to make new friends? Is it to leave some friends behind? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Is your Kairos moment to move towards sobriety or sobriety again? I don't know. Is your Kairos moment to worship? Yeah, I do know that. Kairos calls for action. It doesn't measure time, whether it has action in it or inaction in it. It just is action. It's a response to God in a moment that doesn't have seconds. The thing that grieves me the most is people that spend their life in a church and are ill-prepared to die and enter eternity. I don't fault those people. I fault those who taught you. And they will be held accountable. James chapter 3. That just stokes me up. The church is some Rotary Club to some people where you do what you like doing, but you never grow. What is that? That is from the pit of hell, is what that is. Charading as discipleship. And it's not right, and it can't be turned around. As long as we're talking about heaven and hell, I guess you're not supposed to do this in the 21st century, talk about hell or sin or conviction or whatever. All right. Every person in this room was born. And God knew your name before you were born. Even if your parents didn't, he knew. And he knitted you together in your mother's womb. And not only that, he had a destiny for you because you are his handiwork. And he prepared good works for you to do in advance, knowing who you would be, how you were wired, and how you would live. Those works that you do are supposed to glorify his son, Christ, who died for you. Here's your problem and my problem. You're a sinner, and so am I. We fall short of the glory of God. We can't measure up to the standard that God needs to enter his presence for all eternity. So he sends one who meets the standard, his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to represent you and to represent me. Aren't you glad? Or would you rather just go on your own merit? He sends his son for knowing your need of one to die on your behalf to meet the standard of the Father to enter into heaven forever. He sends his son to pay the punishment for your sin and mine. Ponder that for a second. You don't have to pay the penalty of your nasty sin. Think about that, and it's nasty. So this representative, Christ, comes in the form of a man to represent us. He dies on the cross, and after 3 days, he rose from the dead. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. In a chronos standpoint, that happened in the span of over 2,000 years ago. In a kairos perspective, it happened just now on your behalf. Whether you accept it or not now, that's your choice. That really is your choice. You have the freedom to choose and to reject. Something that special, you ought to have the freedom to choose or reject. This isn't a robotic kind of thing. This isn't God beating you on the head. This is you choosing. You choose to accept that gift or you choose to reject that gift. Guess who gave you the freedom to do so? The one who died for you. because relationships of love necessitate a volunteerism, a willingness on the part of both parties to enter into a love relationship. Christ died for you. You have the wherewithal to enter into that relationship or reject it, and he gave you the freedom to do so. That's love. That's freedom. But it only lasts so far, because you will die. Thinking Crotus, it could be 10 minutes from now, it could be 10 hours from now, it could be 10 days from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now, but you're gonna drop dead. And the rest of us are gonna pick up all the pieces and trying to figure out what we got here, and we're gonna have some sort of service for you, and we gotta figure all that out. The question is, at that point in time, in your Kairos moment, did you accept him or did you reject him? That's all that's gonna matter, my friend. That's it. What else is there? What else is there at that point? Is there anything more important than that? That's it. Now, you can spend your whole life rationalizing, denying it, putting it off, excusing it, chalking it up to a different philosophy, different religion, but the day's going to come when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and it's going to be a day of judgment, a day of reckoning. I'm just telling you because I love you. This ain't no joke. In this Kairos moment, who cares what time it is? In this Kairos moment, the quality of that decision is yours. I mean, you know, if you never accepted Christ, don't give me the religion thing. I get it. There's a lot of people out there messed up. Talk about you and him. That's all he's going to be talking about. You and him. It's either depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, thou good and faithful servant. You never accepted him before. Here's your Kairos moment. Do you want to? Because if you do, we're fixing to have a celebration, as we have in recent weeks. Is there anyone here that needs to receive him? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anyone here that needs to receive him? Start this thing. Start this walk. I want you to raise your hand so I can see. I got lights in my eyes. I want you to raise your hand so I can see. Is anybody here that needs to receive Christ and the forgiveness of sin and the newness of life and hope? Eternal life. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to pray for the people watching online. I had a lady the other day wanting to know what to do. She accepted the Lord during the service. Let's pray. Father, we perhaps, Lord, have some reevaluating to do when it comes to time and our stewardship of it. Are we as opportunistic, and are we clothed and prepared to meet these moments and seasons of opportunity? Please make that answer yes for each of us. For those who are watching or will watch or will listen, if you need to receive Jesus Christ, it goes something like this. You talk to him personally. Lord Jesus, I need you. You please to forgive me, and I want to turn away from being Lord of my own life, and I want to surrender to you. I want to take myself off the throne of my own life and place you in your rightful place of authority, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean, including my conscience. Make and keep me new and whole. I ask you for hope. I confess my need of you. I confess my running from you. And I confess my acceptance of you. Show me your love. Show me that you are love. And help me. Bring people into my life that can help me on this journey. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. All right, let's end with a song of worship. Count your blessings. Can you count your blessings today as you sing this song?